Dear brothers and sisters, when we faithfully try to live according to the Word of God, there are times when worldly people and even some who believe in God say that we are too devout, or have you ever seen people who call you that? We can receive that as a compliment. Also, we are always praying every night. We come to church every night. And even our colleagues may say, and during a dinner or while they are having a party, when we say that we have to go to church, what do they say? And your colleagues are even Christians, and they say, God, I mean, there are times when worldly people and even some who believe in God say that we are too devout or fanatical. They ask why we have to be so zealous when God knows all our circumstances and situations anyway. But God, the Bible says, to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Father God wants His children to live a happy life even in this world. The secret to living such a happy life is recorded in the Bible. Today, in line with the we will look at attaining peace, one of the secrets to a happy life. If you can completely achieve peace, wherever you go will be filled with happiness like heaven. We have to keep peace in our family. Also, we have to keep peace in our workplaces. Our students, you have to be in peace with your classmates. Wherever you are, peace overflows. And in your church as well, with your brothers and sisters, with your cell group members, wherever you meet, if you keep peace with them, this is like heaven. As God's children, you can do that. We are learning about the secrets and ways to do that. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will embed these words in your heart and become the happiest ones in the Lord while on this earth. Dear brothers and sisters, if you can always live in agreement with everyone around you and get along with them, then your life will be truly happy. But there is an order in achieving peace. In your family, with your family members, if you have shared a good bond, if you are in agreement with them, the first thing you have to do is to evangelize them. Once you evangelize them, you can talk in the truth, you can talk in God. But let's say some of your family members are not Christians. Let's say your spouse is not a Christian, then your conversation topic may not. Otherwise, some of your, even among your family members, there are members who have the same taste, same preferences, then you are happier. When you eat out, you can. But if you have different tastes, there may be some argument or conflict. But if you are in agreement with everyone, but even how could a husband and wife will always be in agreement always? But if you love each other, they can adapt themselves to each other. They can, as they try to adjust themselves to the, then they are happy. But if only one side yields, then it won't be happy. They have to yield one another. They have to cherish one another. They have to adjust. One should adjust himself to another. They have to, as for our family, we try to adjust ourselves to others always. And when we eat out, we And we have several options, and we yield to each other. And then we meet in the halfway, and what a happy moment of decision that is. But if you try to seek your own benefits, always, then quarrels will arise. This can happen among your families, friends, and brothers and sisters. If you seek always your benefits and recommend your favorite fruit to another person, then as time goes by, some people would complain and there will be divisions. When you don't seek your own benefits, you can achieve peace. But today's sermon teaches you how to keep peace with everyone, wherever you are. To do so, you have to know the order of, you have to know which one should you keep peace with, which one, then you can have true peace. And who do we need to reconcile and have peace with first? He is our Father God. Brothers and sisters, why did God create man and cultivate them on this earth? The reason was to gain true children who can share love. God created mankind in His image and embedded spiritual knowledge in them to gain children who can share love. When the first man, Adam, committed the sin of disobeying God's word, all of God's descendants began walking down the path of sin. Becoming sinners, men were no longer children of God, but children and slaves of the devil. In the end, they were supposed to be thrown into the eternal fire of hell. But God did not leave mankind, created in His image, to live as slaves to the devil like that and face eternal death. Despite men having sinned against His will, God extended a hand of reconciliation first by sending His only Son, Jesus, to atone for all our sins. Regarding this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us, all things are from God who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. God completely sacrificed His beloved Son Jesus on the cross for reconciliation with sinners. Why did they break peace with God? It was issues of sin. Why? The master of sin is the darkness and the enemy devil and Satan. God is the opposite. He's the light, He's the goodness, and He's the love. And God and the darkness are the opposites. Sins and truth are the opposites. But people left the truth and committed sin. That's how they began to belong to the enemy devil. That's why the peace with God was broken. But to recover the peace was to resolve the issues of sin. And our sinless Jesus redeemed, bore all the sins of mankind, and He died on the cross like a sinner. So whoever believes in Jesus as his Savior receives the forgiveness of all sins, is given the Holy Spirit, and become children of God. This way, we have recovered the peace with God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Those who have received the amazing grace of being born again as children of God through Jesus Christ must not sin again. If they sin, the reconciliation with God breaks. They become vulnerable to the work of the enemy devil and Satan, which leads to their prayers being unanswered. But many Christians say that they believe in Jesus, and they say that they are in peace with God, and they say they become God's children. They know that, but the core, they don't know why we broke peace with God and how. Anyway, Jesus resolved the issues of sin. So God's children who are saved should not sin again. They should not commit sins leading to death. If they willfully sin again and again, they again break peace with God. The peace is broken again. That's why the Bible says, the Bible talk about them saying that they are crucifying the Lord again. The Lord was crucified once, and that's enough. We have been saved, God's children. After they say that they thank the Lord for salvation, but if they willfully commit sins again and again, this is like crucifying the Lord again. And how should you crucify our Lord again? No. Once we become, we have to make our peace with God complete. We have to know the way. In your families, in your parents gave birth to his children, and they nurtured them with love and care. But there are times when children and parents, peace is broken among them. Let's say children enrage their parents, then peace is broken. Even if the peace is broken, they want to recover peace and they ask for forgiveness, they can recover peace again. But even after the peace is recovered, even if they resolve to get along, but what if same things happens again? If children commit faults again, then again peace is broken. If this thing repeats over and over, it will be difficult to resolve the issues of broken peace. Once, the same way, to keep peace with God, maintain the peace with God, we should not commit sins. Jeremiah, the Bible says about that, your iniquities have turned these away, like fearing God and reconciling with God, and your sins have withheld good from you. Our transgressions, our sins, if you commit sins, this is a, if you commit sins like that, it drives away fearing God, it drives away reconciling with God, which means the peace is broken, and your sins have withheld good from you. Good things like answers and blessings and healing, God wants to pour these things out upon us, but if we willfully commit sins, then such good things are withheld from us, and these things are driven away. But if you walk in the light, God's word, being grateful for the grace received, you can receive whatever you ask of God amidst peace with God. In a peaceful family, parents listen and respond to their children's request when possible. Then why would God, our spiritual father, not answer those who become reconciled to him? Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" 1 John chapter 3 verses 21 and 22 also writes, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." If we are not in peace with God because of sin, we cannot ask with confidence, which means we cannot receive answers or experience His blessings. When we reconcile with God, nothing is beyond our reach. I pray that you will always walk in the truth and keep peace with God, keep peace with Father God. Dear brothers and sisters, first, we need to reconcile with God, the Father of our souls, before reconciling with all people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 records, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Giving us the ministry of reconciliation means we are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those still living in sin, separated from God, and headed towards death, so that they too may be reconciled with God. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13 tells us, "And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work, live in peace with one another." Should we be cut off from the world? I mean, we have to give off the aroma of Christ, and we have to reach out to people who don't believe in God and share the gospel with them. But as I told you in the instruction, as you share the gospel, it will be good if they accept it. But it's not easy to make them accept our words, because as they are before accepting the Lord, they have lived as slaves to the devil, and the enemy devil are binding them. They are trying not to lose them. That's why it's not easy to make them accept our word, gospel. We have to be more than able to overcome them. We have to serve them, love them, and sacrifice ourselves for them, even if we are persecuted. Still, we have to give off the aroma of Christ and in making efforts to share the gospel. In the end, we can win many souls to the Lord. This is the reason that 2,000 years ago, our Lord carried the cross and became our Savior. But unless we share the gospel with our lips, few will be saved. That's why we should not be cut off from the world. We have to keep peace with the worldly people, and at the same time, we have to share the gospel with them. That doesn't mean being peace with God is to share what they enjoy, the worldly pleasures. But if we give off the aroma of Christ, you will be recognized by the worldly people. Worldly people indulge in drinking and eating, and then you have to leave their parties because you have to go to church. You have to leave in the middle of their parties, and they may ask, and they sarcastically say, "Can you get bread? Can you get something when you go to church?" But when they are in distress, when they are in hardships, when they are not satisfied, they will remember you, because they will begin to ask, "Why are you so happy going to church?" Because your life has been, because you live happily and joyfully, the worldly people will find you when they are in trouble, and they will recognize you. The first thing we have to do is to keep peace with God, and we should not look for worldly perishable things, but as we keep peace with our colleagues, we can share the gospel with them. And let me tell you what is the main reason that people fail to be in peace with each other. It's because they insist on their being right. However, many of their thoughts, which they believe to be right, are not accurate when measured against the truth. God's word instructs us to forgive, love our enemies, and serve. Yet, they cling to their thoughts while not practicing these teachings. When people set aside their will and righteousness and align their actions with God's word, the truth, peace can be achieved. You have to examine whether you have done so. This is particularly important within the family unit. We should embody the highest levels of love and peace. For Father God also desires our families to be in peace. He instructs us to honor our parents, love our spouses, and maintain a loving relationship with our siblings. It is said that peace in the family is the key to prosperity in all things. When we are in peace with all things in the truth, our prayers can be answered and good things follow. The Bible says, better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of fast feasting with strife. The verse puts emphasis on the value of peace in the family. Do you sympathize with that? Do you agree with that? Let's say you don't have much to eat, but your family members serve each other and you always smile and laugh and you are filled with positive thoughts. You always think about hopeful things, encourage each other, even though you are not rich. And then compared to the family who is rich, they have a vast rooms, vast gardens, and they have delicacies all over, but they fight each other. They don't want to eat on the same table. They don't have conversation. Are you envious of such families? Being peace, being full of love is source of true joy and happiness. Such families, even though they are poor right now, they can encourage each other with positive thinking and they can be better in the future. You have to become a peacemaker. For example, students, your parents, your mom and dad doesn't get along. Then you have to share good words with them. You have to deliver happy news and you try to reconcile them and you bring peace. Then Father God will give quick answers and blessings upon your families as well. For a family to be peaceful, it's crucial for the husband and wife to be united. When spouses have peace, they can have peace with their children. As their children learn from them, they can have peace with their siblings, and the whole family will be in peace. Peace between spouses is very important. Achieving peace between spouses is not as challenging as it may seem. The Bible says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. By following the word of God, spouses can find it easier to achieve peace. The Bible instructs, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, if you love yourself, you try to eat better, you eat, you exercise, work out, then you have to love your wife also. You have to yield good things to her. You have to look for good things for her. This is how you love your wife. You have to cherish your wife. Then peace is achieved. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3, verse 1 also advises us, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. What does this mean? Husbands are still not living in the truth, but they can be moved by good deeds of their wives. As they see their wives planting in goodness and truth, then their husbands can receive salvation. But wives, your husband has not been evangelized, your husband is not living the truth, then do you try to teach him only with the word or show deeds? The Bible says that if we say only with words, fights may occur. Wives may scold their husband. You have to live a good Christian life. All you have to do is live a good Christian life. But your husband doesn't have good faith. So this is a very difficult thing. You wives are demanding, which is very difficult on your husband. But what you have to do first is to change yourself in the truth. Then you have to make your husband think that, as I see my wife, I want to go to church. And your husband will open the door to your hearts, and then they can receive complete salvation. But if wives only talk, if their hearts is not opened, they cannot receive salvation. You have to remember the words in the Bible. You have to first demonstrate deeds of light so that your husbands can come to salvation. But the first thing you have to do is to make peace with God. As long as your husband doesn't tell you to do something untruthful, you have to be obedient to your husband. And when you first change yourself, then your husband can be saved as well. If only husbands and wives fulfill these teachings, no couple would fail to achieve peace. Challenges arise, for example, when a husband demands submission without fulfilling his own responsibilities, or when a wife expects her wishes to be met without doing what she has to do. These attitudes bring peace. If either of them humbles themselves and takes the initiative to serve according to God's word of truth, peace can be quickly restored. While reaching out and showing humility first can be a blow to personal pride, it leads them to become a greater vessel spiritually. As I share a few stories related to this, I hope for you to gain wisdom which can be applied to yourselves. This is a story about a relationship between a husband and a wife. But this can be applied to not just to a husband and wife relationship or children and parents. It can be applied to children and parent relationship and relationship with among your colleagues. This can be applied to other relationships as well. Then you can achieve peace. The first is about Queen Elizabeth of England. One day, the queen had an argument with her husband. The queen returned home when all her work was finished. But she found her room locked from inside. Having been hurt, the queen's husband locked the door and didn't open it. In frustration, she commanded, "I, Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain, order you to open the door." But there was no response from inside the room. Imagine yourself in the queen's position. What would you have done? Would you raise your voice even louder, exercising your authority? You may involve all kinds of words of truth and try to teach your husband what would happen. But the queen soon realized her wrong approach. In a softer and more affectionate tone, she said, "Darling, this is your beloved wife Elizabeth. It's cold outside. Please open the door." Her gentle plea was met with an open door. This lesson doesn't just apply to spousal relationships. This can be applied similarly to our spiritual lives as well. There are believers who are distressed in temptations and their first love has been lost or cooled. There may be workers like smoldering wicks speaking that as for a person with weak faith, his heart can be reached through genuine, humble acts of kindness and service instead of commands or words of rebuke. Only a warm and humbling heart that prioritizes others' positions can open a closed heart. A person who can humble themselves in this manner is advancing spiritually. When a person does evil to you, if you respond with evil, it's a sign that your spiritual maturity is similar to his, regardless of your long religious experience. When you listen to the second story, I want you to put yourself in their shoes. Think about how you acted in the past and how you would respond in a similar circumstance. This story revolves around an elderly couple who had a quarrel. One day, they quarreled and the elderly woman became so upset that she refused to talk to her husband. During the mealtime, she set the table for him but sat at one corner of the room and sulked in silence. As he finished his meal, she just brought him water without saying a word. Though they used to have lively conversation over meals, she didn't say a word, so he was frustrated. The man was eager to break the silence and get along with her like before. But even after the meal, the woman remained silent and focused on her own activities. How would you respond if you were in the elderly man's position? Would you be angry with her? Would you engage in a prideful standoff, thinking that it will hurt your pride to ask for forgiveness first? Instead, the wife also stuck to her pride. She wanted to show that she was hurt. Instead, the elderly man suddenly went to the closet and earnestly searched for something. He searched through the drawers, pretending to look for something. At first, his wife ignored the man's actions, but as he took out more items from the drawers, making a mess, her curiosity got the better of her. She bluntly asked what he was looking for. The man smiled politely and said he was searching for her voice and that he'd finally found it. Brothers and sisters, achieving peace is often easier than we may think. With a bit of humility and more consideration for others, even deep-seated conflicts can be resolved. But as we stick to our own egos, humbling ourselves can feel challenging and difficult. Misunderstandings over trivial things can arise, and pride prevents open communication, causing negative emotions to fester. As children of God who know the truth, we should recognize that dying every day like Apostle Paul is the path to living in spirit instead of sticking to our pride and egos. Our Lord Jesus completely died according to God's will and was resurrected in glory. There is a story with the lesson that as much as we die in the Word of God, the truth, we can live a truly happy life. Though it's just an example, this is a kind of a made-up story, but I pray in the name of the Lord that this next story will lead you to have peace and abundant joy wherever you may go. Once, there was a wife who wished for death, overwhelmed by her unhappy family life. She was miserable economically. Her house was in a mess, and she didn't like her husband, she didn't like her children, her life was so miserable. And she prayed to God, saying that life was too difficult and that she longed to go to heaven quickly. God responded by saying that He understood her heart and would grant her wish, but He told her to do a few things first. The woman agreed, and God instructed her to clean her messy house for the next 3 days so that after she died, people would positively comment on her housework. After the woman diligently cleaned her house for 3 days, it transformed into a pristine, fresh space and vastly improved from before. God then asked her, "Aren't you concerned for your children? Why don't you shower all your love on them for the next 3 days so they would remember you as a loving mother for you after you die?" The woman showed them love with all her heart, wholeheartedly making meals for them. After 3 days, God said, "It's almost time for you to come to heaven, but there's one final task left. I know you've been hurt and distressed because of your husband, but why don't you serve him with as much love and dedication for the last 3 days so he will remember you as a truly wonderful wife at your funeral?" Though reluctant at first, the wife devoted herself to serving her husband, knowing she was close to the end. After 3 days, God told the woman, "Now it's time. But before you come, look around your home." As the woman looked around, she saw her children smiling for the first time in a long while in a now clean house, and her house and her husband also looked happy. Seeing this, the woman thought of her home as heaven and wished to stay with her family. Then God said to the woman, "You've created a kind of heaven you longed for over the past 9 days. You can live there happily." Despite being a made-up story, it makes you realize that whether you are happy or unhappy is determined by our actions. Are any of you experiencing similar family difficulties? Or do you find yourself agonized by your bosses or colleagues and wanting to quit? Regardless of your circumstances, I encourage you to follow the example of the woman in this story, completely die in the truth, and serve others with all your heart. If you walk in the truth by trusting in God's word, God the Father watches over you. God the Father who watches over you will be truly pleased and surely grant your desires. God can bring reconciliation even with your adversaries and help you, as His children, to be loved and admired by others. This is because God's word is true without deceit, and our Father God is faithful in fulfilling every promise made. I pray that all of you will trust in this faithful God and walk in the truth with even greater commitment. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, when life on this earth ends, we will enter beautiful heaven that God has prepared for our happiness. There, we will live eternally, praising and loving our Father God. What does the Bible tell us to do to be able to see our beloved Father's face to our heart's content and be in our Lord's embrace as God's true children? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, and Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, both emphasize being peacemakers. Wherever peacemakers are, people have peace. First, we talked about reconciling with God, and then we looked at examples on extending this reconciliation to all people. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will grasp this secret to living a happy life, which is making peace, live happiest life on earth, and enter New Jerusalem, the most blissful place in heaven.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.